Hi, welcome to the Pleasure Project with Dr. Jen Kennedy. In today's episode, I talk about the whole dynamic of self-talk and how it relates to sex and sort of the bias you go into it with, some typical negative cognitions that kind of hamstring you in this dynamic and kind of derail you from connection that have you in your mind more than in your body. So if you tend to have a lot of chatter in your mind, this will be a good episode for you. So tune in. Hi, so welcome back to the Pleasure Project with Dr. Jen Kennedy. So today I'm going to talk about self-talk and as it shows up and applies to your sex life. Because you might be familiar with the idea of self-talk. Most of us have an inner voice. We have kind of a monologue that's going through our head during the day, and it might be about work, it might be about friends, it might be about getting stuff done. You know, there's just like reminders, that type of thing. It helps keep us on track and kind of getting through our day. But I'm also looking at it from the standpoint of how does it affect you when you're preparing to go into a more erotic space? Because invariably, we have all kinds of mental chatter going on, and it affects how you show up. It affects how well it goes. If you can think to maybe other situations that are not sex related first. So maybe that's you're going to the DMV, which is never one of my favorite places. There's a bias sort of heading into that situation, or the dentist is another example of one I'm not super thrilled to have to do. And when I'm going to those, I sort of have a negative feeling going into it. I feel some agitation. I'm almost expecting it to be a negative experience. I can feel some tension in my body. You know, just a low level sense of dread having to go and do that appointment. So how does that then shape what kind of experience I have at those places? So now think about with sex. Now, if you're in a longer term relationship, likely your sex might be more consistent in terms of how it plays out. A lot of couples that I see tend to have their sort of standard go-to positions and approach, and who initiates, and where do they have sex, and how do they actually engage? Like that tends to get more, I hate to use this word, but formulaic over time. Now, not everybody, because some couples are really adventurous and they make a big effort to introduce novelty through different toys or places or positions or you know, there's lots of variety, but I would say for the most part, couples that are in longer term relationships tend to have kind of a rinse and repeat routine, which I don't necessarily love, but it's if it works for you, great. And if it doesn't, then I would say do something different. However, when there is an expectancy, there's also built-in bias in your own mind of what is this going to be? So, if there's an expectancy of penetration, for example, if there's an expectancy of, I guess, how long it should take, that type of thing, all of that is built in. It's baked in to your mindset when you start to orient toward thinking about moving into an erotic space. So, if those things tend to be negative, or if there is, like I said, you know, as it applies to the dentist, if there tends to be some hesitancy or dislike or negativity or fear or embarrassment or any of those kind of direction, there's probably also going to be an avoidance for you. Because why do we want to walk into situations that historically have been painful for us? Not physically, but also physically, but emotionally too. So I'm asking you, I guess, to look at a couple of things. First of all, historically, how has your sex manifested? Like, how does it initiate? How does it play out? Because that probably builds some expectancy, I guess, in your mind about how it's going to go this time too. So knowing what that is means you can do something different, but also it gives you sort of a chance, in this podcast. I want to break down, I guess, a little more specifics, give you some structure around typical negative self-talk that can be problematic. So initially, I'm going to talk about, because it's not an easy switch to just flip, right? There has to be some awareness of what you typically do, and then gives you an opportunity to do something different. So there's a couple different strategies, I guess, that often get employed, pretty much unconsciously, but I thought I would go through those because that might be helpful to illustrate the point of negative self-talk. Now, if it's positive self-talk, great, right? There's probably a positive bias that's built in where you think this is going to be awesome. And if it historically has been awesome with your partner, it's probably going to continue that way because you're going in with excitement, you're going in with this belief that it's going to work between the two of you, whatever work means. It's going to be a thrilling or satisfying or arousing experience. Great. And that also probably is a bias that exists more when you're brand new, because there's a lot of projection where you're like, ooh, this person's hot and it's going to be great. And I can't wait to physically get together with them and sort of consummate all this like sexual tension that's between us. Conversely, you might also be really, really nervous and negative heading into a new experience because you have no idea what is going to unfold and how it's all going to play out and if you're going to be compatible. And just because they're great to talk to, like, how is the touch element going to actually go? So let's jump into some of these and see kind of what do they look like and also how might you meet them if they do show up. So the first one I want to talk about is personalizing. And that's kind of the strategy that we use in our own mind of thinking about, like, it's not you, it's me. Like, I'm the problem, to quote Taylor Swift. But it's that idea of, like, if something's not working between you, it must be because you're doing something wrong. And that can be, God, that could be anything. I'm thinking, like, if the chemistry is sort of off between you and a new partner and you can't quite figure out why, and you're assuming maybe it's because you don't look right or you don't say the right things, or there's something that must be inherently flawed. Now, if you're the kind of person that your go-to default thought is, I'm not good enough, this is probably going to be where you go in the sexual side of things too. That you're personalizing that whatever is not quite clicking is about you. Another example I see of this in the sex therapy realm is that, like, women especially feel really self-conscious about how long it takes them to reach climax during oral sex. Like, some women, it takes a really long time. I'm talking, 20, 30 minutes. And so they start to feel like they're the problem. They're making this, they're slowing things up, or they're disappointing their partner somehow, or that type of thing. And I guess what I would say is, first of all, are you sure that your partner even feels disappointed or frustrated? That might not even be true, right? You might be totally in your head assuming that there is a problem. And if so, that it's you, because there might not be. So I guess look for, I mean, I'm always a fan of actually having a good conversation with your partner, either during or after, or even in advance, but kind of recapping or breaking down sort of what has occurred. And so you can make it better, because I feel like so much of this is in your head and you don't know that it's actually true. It's just your fears, or it's just your kind of default position. So definitely encourage discussion. I love communication between people. I really think it also brings down the temperature of it has to go a certain way, because that's just so much pressure. Okay, so the number two option here that people tend to do is catastrophizing. So catastrophizing is gonna be something you probably recognize from the world of just feeling like it's gonna go bad. Like there's just anything that could go bad, right? It's that mind that's sort of, if you have that mind that looks kind of for what's the next problem, and you're more of a chronic worrier. And that might be the, like, for example, applied to sex, it might be I'm gonna act awkward, or I'm gonna look wrong, or I'm just not gonna be a good lover in this. It's anticipating that the other person is going to find you unacceptable, or that something is going to derail the good experience that you are hoping to have. And so if you tend to chronically worry in the world, and you're thinking 3 steps ahead about everything that could go wrong, this might be where you go in sex as well, because it just feels easy to kind of attach. The mind wants to like eliminate problems, but also you're creating problems likely. You're actually overthinking this. You're living in your mind instead of in your body, and you're worrying about what could go wrong, and you're believing on some level that you can't handle it if something does go quote wrong. In this example, like if you're acting awkward, or if you don't look quite right, who cares? Like you can course correct, or hopefully your partner has enough, there's enough latitude between you, there's enough permission to be imperfect, that you can just try something different, or you can kind of laugh about it and move forward, right? Because so much of this self-talk is biasing you going into this experience. And if you get in your head and totally psych yourself out, then it's gonna kind of you're gonna take a U-turn. You're gonna derail from this fabulous trip that you're on. So I'm encouraging you to notice if you tend to do this, and maybe consider not buying into that. The third thing that people tend to do that's more of a negative cognition is filtering. So filtering is that you're really looking at the negative in like a magnified way. So you're only seeing kind of what isn't working instead of acknowledging what is working. So this might be, say, your partner has erectile dysfunction, and you're really fixated on the fact that you can't have penetrative sex with them being erect, because that's just part of the deal. And that might be because they're taking certain types of medications that prevent that, or they have blood flow issues of different sorts, or this happens oftentimes with aging. So there's kind of a frustration, a disappointment, a dismissal that's coming because of the filtering tendency, right? You're magnifying the negative aspects of the situation instead of recognizing, hey, even if they can't sustain or even, achieve an erection, there's still lots of sensitivity in there, and there's lots of opportunity to have sex in other ways. Either, with, a non-erect penis still can feel incredibly good to the holder of that. And you also have hands, you also have a mouth, you also have, tools that you can add to the mix, right? It doesn't have to be one way. And I feel like when things get really rigid in that it has to be, then it starts to feel very limiting, and that creates tons of anxiety, and it will make both partners feel probably avoidant, because they don't want to walk into that situation and feel like that. So the filtering gets really tricky. That can also be like in a new relationship, say, part of it was good, but then it went south. So like maybe the kissing was really hot, but the sex felt very clumsy or felt mechanical, I hear sometimes. And that can happen. You don't know each other's bodies yet. Also, people are typically nervous when it's the first time they've had sex with a new partner. They feel clumsy. Yeah, they don't know what your buttons are. They don't know your pacing. They don't know your favorites. And so it can feel clumsy. So be patient, and again, back to communicate, because if you're willing to say what you want, if you're willing to give some guidance, and that can be verbally, or that can also just be take their hand and put it where you want it, or put your hand where you want it and show them. Because if you're expecting the situation to be perfect from the outset, it's just a really it's a really high ask. And I think it can also create needless upset or distancing between you. The last cognition I'm going to talk about, negative cognition, is polarizing. So that is sort of a black and white thinking tendency, and that's that there isn't a middle ground of gray. That it's either good or it's bad. And that gets into some perfection too, because if it's only good or bad, then it really puts the pressure on to feel like you're perfect. And when I think to couples that I've talked to, or even individuals that I've worked with on the sex therapy side of things, examples of this would be like, I have to look perfect. And so I've heard women say, I don't want to be in a position that shows my skin folding. And I'm like, are you kidding me? Our skin folds for a reason, right? But like, God forbid you don't look perfect, then it's off, then it's a failure. And so that type of pressure, or that type of thinking, that type of self-talk really prohibits kind of the natural flow of a good time, of a good sexual experience, because you're in your head, you're not in your body. You're thinking about how do I look, you're thinking about how do I sound, you're thinking about how do I taste, right? Either it's good or it's bad. And it's like it's really limiting. So I discourage the polarizing thinking in general, and certainly in this context. I just don't think it really helps things go well. And I think it limits the spontaneity. It limits the creativity that can show up in sex. And so I really encourage you, if this is sort of your outlook in the world, like, are things perfect, in which case you probably really heavily monitor yourself. If kind of your go-to cognition would be, I have to be perfect or please everyone, this might be an area that shows up in your sex life too. Can you laugh at things that go south, or can you just sort of shrug and keep going? Like, that would be sort of the other way to approach this dynamic. So hopefully those are helpful. You can see some of yourself in those. These are the types of topics that we discuss in the Pleasure Circle, which is my 6-week group. And it's online, it's for women only at this time. But we really dive into different topics every week. I give a little mini lecture, like I just did, and then I will give you some prompts for you to apply this to your own life. So you can see kind of, am I doing some of these things, and how can I show up differently, because everybody's got their own profile, everybody's got their own way. So I strongly encourage you to think about joining us. It runs a couple times a year. You can find out more at pleasureproject.us, and it's called the Pleasure Circle. There's also a link to the podcast and to my blog. So check us out at pleasureproject.us. So just kind of wrapping up this idea, a couple things with self-talk is it's normal, by the way, to be talking to kind of yourself and having some dialogue heading into life, but also into sexual contact. But what is the nature of what's happening? Like, are you curious? Curious is the best way out of this, is like, what could happen? And what is this? And how does it feel? And I wonder how it would feel if I slightly moved my hips this way, or if I put more pressure, or if I went faster or slower, right? Curiosity and openness are going to be your best friend with sex life, because they give you somewhere to go. They don't limit you in the ways that are going to cause tension and rigidity, and ultimately make it harder, because it feels like there's only the certain very narrow path to get there. So I guess I would ask, what are some of the obstacles that tend to show up in your new relationship or in your long-term relationship, either way. What is the self-talk that attaches to that? Are you critical of yourself? Are you critical of your partner? Where is your focus? Because some people are really preoccupied with themselves, and that's more so, how do I look? How do I smell? How do I taste? How are they perceiving me? Do they like me? Do they like me? Kind of thing. Or they can be incredibly selfish with their own pleasure and just totally want what they want. But the other folks tend to really totally be paying attention to their partner. So it's all about partner perception. It's all about partner pleasure. They aren't actually noticing what they want. So the self-talk is probably going to be drilling through your head in one of those directions. Either what do they think of me, or what do I think of this? I sort of compare it to when you go into a job interview, and are you, of course, wanting to make a good impression? You want the company to want to make you an offer. You want them to see you as a good candidate. However, hopefully you're also interviewing them, right? You're also saying, is this a good fit for me? Do I like their management style? Do I like the culture of this place? Does this work for me? Because if you just leave the experience wanting to be wanted and wanting them to choose you, but you haven't actually been discerning if you want to choose them, it might not work out. They might choose you, but it might not actually be a good fit. So when you're having, all the inner talk, all the self-talk, the dialogue that's running through your mind heading into a sexual experience, it is definitely important to pay attention to your partner, but it's also really critical to be discerning in terms of what you want. Do you know what you need? Do you know what you like? And if not, that's going to be a hard road to navigate. I think initially, when you're first having erotic play with somebody new, there's a lot of outward focus and wanting to appear desirable and that type of thing. But eventually, you're going to need to be also caring about your own satisfaction. So ideally, that would happen from the outset, so it doesn't feel like you're faking it, or it doesn't feel like you are giving them more of a performative experience where they think it went really well, but they have no idea what actually happened for you. So, what is the self-talk that's going on in advance and in the moment? So, in advance is expectancy. What do you think is going to happen? What do you want to happen? How are you contributing to the dynamic of how this is unfolding? In terms of, are you feeling excited? Like, are you having this like anticipatory, like, ooh, this is going to be great, or I wonder what's going to happen, and I'm going to make this a good experience for us as much as I can, and I'm going to be open and receptive and curious about how they contribute as well. Or are you being more defeatist, where you're thinking, I'm not hot enough for them, or I'm not experienced enough for them, or whatever it is. There's a million versions of the self-talk that can also be somewhat defeatist. So look at what you're walking in the room with, what you're sort of coloring the experience with from the outset, and start to think about maybe how might you do something different. What if you just were really open to whatever unfolded? It's like you go to a restaurant, and maybe it's a type of food you don't typically eat, and you look at the menu and it looks kind of like Greek, and you're just willing to kind of say, hey, let's order a couple things and try it. Right? That is such a different approach than, I only eat this, I only do, I only will have foods cooked this way, and I only like this flavor profile, and I'm only going to do this. It's a different mindset. It's an openness that allows for some delight and some new experiencing. And I think that can really play well with sexual experiences and, sort of what you're walking in with in your own inner dialogue. So I guess I'm curious of where you go with this, and notice sort of what soundtrack is playing through your head in advance and during sex, and see if you might disrupt that a little bit more towards the positive. See if you might actually make some allowance for there to be some play and some spontaneity and some curiosity. So I hope you have enjoyed this episode. Again, I would love your feedback, and you can make comments on the podcast. Also, if you have ideas of things that you would like for me to talk about, please send me a message and let me know. I'm always open to that. So again, this is part of the Pleasure Project, and I would love for you to be part of the Pleasure Circle, where you get to be in this smaller group where we talk about this stuff in a really open, playful, fun, informative way. That runs for 6 weeks, and I would welcome you to participate in that. So you can find out more at thepleasureproject.us. Thanks so much.